gospel-centered things that you can bring from all of those ingredients and what it was for and the consecration of the anointing. Like, it's legit. It's a good time. Like, and you've got a week. You can study it to either prove me right or wrong, or we can all just go on an adventure next weekend together. But it is legit. But it got me into the spot of anointing in general. And as I go down the rabbit hole, you read things like Psalm 23 that says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy." I'd like to preach that this morning. "And you anoint my head with oil." There we go. That's close enough. I'll take it. "You anoint my head with oil." That visibility is through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, in a lot of places. And we ended up moving along a little bit. But I studied through the difference between old Greek words. And I didn't do very well in school. We don't have enough time for that. But digging into Greek words and meanings and, you know, a little bit of a subtext, the difference between aliepho and chryso were different types of anointing. Aliepho was when Jesus said, you know, if you're going to be fasting, he said, anoint your head with oil, wash your face, get a breath mint. I heard that. I don't know who that was, but was that you, Wayne? I appreciate that. Okay, fine, the text doesn't say get a breath mint, but if he's telling you to not look like you're fasting and mourning and all of that stuff, he says, anoint your head with oil, wash your face. You can choose the breath mint if you want, but that is aliepho. That is an anointing that is an outward appearance. And yesterday we were joking at the house, and I said, I think I'm going to wear a suit tomorrow. And my daughter's boyfriend back there said, I bet you won't. And I quote, and I'm not going to make eye contact so it's not awkward for him because it's probably already there. We can all turn around and look at him here in a minute. But he said, if you do, I'll sit on the front row. Look who's in the back. Look who's in the back. So we have, it's okay. He's actually really good, and they're good together, so I'm not mad. She could be with a scuzz bucket. I filtered that down. Scuzz bucket was the nicest thing we came to. He could be. Like, she's never really had a scuzz bucket boyfriend, but have you had any boyfriends? Not kidding. Kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, listen. All right, so the aliepho is Justin anointing his own head with oil this morning, and my outward appearance is that of church, right? Everybody walked in. It's super not normal. As you can see, I am as uncomfortable as you are looking at me. Terry's mad. He's like, I didn't get the memo. I'm like, I kind of did, but kind of didn't, and here we are. And once a year, I like to put on a sport coat at Mandy's the Crossroads event. She's like, it's business casual. That's not what we wear. And I was like, it is for me. I feel special once a year, and I put it on, but I had to buy a new shirt because this neck came to 17 and a half, no more. Anyway, so this morning, here is my aliepho for you. We could preach for days and days about the outward appearance has nothing to do with the inward. If the inward's dirty, the outward can still be fancy and look pretty. That's not what I'm saying for me this morning. That's not where I'm going. But then the other side of anointing is chryso. Chryso is an anointing deep down to the soul. That's how they anointed kings. They took them into a separate place. It wasn't in the public. It was in the private. That's the whole thing. That is probably next week. We're going to dive into there next week, I think. But I spent a lot of time, and I'm super excited about it. I spent a lot of time this week understanding anointing and oil and things. But I decided to end up, I didn't say I decided. I didn't decide. He's left this on my heart for a long time. It stems from music. Music stems then back to studying, drives into pictures, drives into thought processes, and then the Lord leads it into a sermon. So a different type of anointing. We are going to talk this morning about the alabaster box, and I am going to read this for a moment. Actually, Stephen, I know you're already there with me. Let's go to Mark 14. Huh? Did you say push my glasses up? You just want to be called out in front of everybody too? No, I can't see if I come up here like that. I can see here. That's it. I mean, I'm at the age where I'm transitioning that I probably should get glasses to wear all the time. I don't want to. I'm in denial. It's not just the river. It's Justin's attitude. All right, Mark 14. Starting at verse 3, it says, "And when he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at a table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard." We won't even pause there. "Very costly, she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly," big word for Justin, "why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me, for you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for illustrations. Lord, I pray this morning that while there are multiple passages of this in the Bible, that you speak through me, Lord, that is nothing that I would like to say, that it is just your words to the people here. Lord, I pray for the people here in an understanding that they can take something away. Lord, just let me be your servant. It's in your name I pray, amen. All right, so I told you this births out of music, because I that's just where I'm at. And the visual aspect of all of this is epic. This story has tons of meat. I will tell you up front, this story or a story very similar shows up in all four Gospels. I'm going to preach out of Mark today. There is conversation. Three of the Gospels all agree that it was just before the burial. There's one in Luke that it's a little bit earlier. The lady there is considered a sinner. And then in the other three, one of them calls her Mary. Two of them leaves her unnamed. I'm here to preach today that it's not so much about her. It's about the what and what went down. That's going to be my position today. We can dive deep into the who's and the why's and the where's, but I don't think in the overarching thing in 2025, what Jesus wants us to have is the understanding of the anointment. And sometimes when I am trying, I will tell you this morning, I have content that I can't read and then speak at the same time. I'm just like that. It's given me so much because there is so much in there, but sometimes I just have to stop. And I have to back away, and I have to turn on some music. And I have to get into a right mindset. And I have to paint pictures because I've got a lot going on. And sometimes I can't just get out of my own head. And I have to just turn on some music, put in my AirPods, and turn them up loud enough that I escape the moment so I can find clarity. I talk too much when God tries to talk to me. Y'all are probably not in that same boat, but I talk too much. Wow. Listen, that was the highest tee ball in golf right there. And it took y'all like 4 seconds to go, "There's an amen, probably should be read." I do talk too much. One time was fine. Again, my feelings are, it's whatever. But sometimes when the Lord is working and talking to me, I still talk more than I listen. So I need to stop for a moment. And you know I love worship music. I can't even get off of the praise team on mornings that I preach, because it's my own understanding to just block out the noise. It's my life. So I've asked Sydney 3 months ago, maybe 2 months. This is when this birthed in my heart, about 2 months ago. And I said, "I'm going to need you to try to get this song down. It's big. It's a lot. It's emotional." And I said, I'm going to preach something on it at some point. Well, this week is that week. So I would like you to do something that I normally do and just take a breath for a minute. Listen, I get it. We got kids in here. I am 100% not worried. Stephen's got a volume knob back there. We are not worried about these children. What I need you to do this morning is, in the visibility of that woman with an alabaster box, vase, glass jar, whatever, I need you to think about her position for a minute, and let's spend 2 minutes while Sydney sings, and I just want you to get into a position of worship. Take a breath. Just get into a position of worship. I got to turn my mic off before I start singing.
No higher calling, no greater purpose, to spend my days, Lord, to bring you worship, blessing and honor. My praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't get angry if I wash his feet with my tears and
can sing the ending half of that song. I love the visual. Go ahead.
I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary.
Lord, I pray for a moment while she finishes that out. Lord, I pray that we all spend a moment thinking the cost of our oil, the cost in our alabaster box. Lord, no one around knows what it cost to acquire that. Amen. Amen. Thank you. She does not always stay mad when I ask for things. But I really, listen, the visual is insane to me, the visual of what happened. So let's get through the text for a minute and figure out if all of my teenagers were here and they were sitting on the front row like I love for them to do, I would ask them the who, what's, and the where's. But let's first understand where we are at, right? This particular passage says that he's in the house of Simon the leper. Pretty cool, right? He didn't really have a house that people hung out at before, right? Fair enough. Good. Hey, listen, I am there. All right, so we're at Simon the leper. Who else was there with him? His disciples. That's good enough. Like, there's other things in other texts that may give you some more, which is fine. But right now, we'll just, at minimum, we have Simon and we have the disciples. Judas was definitely there. Yeah. This is definitely a moment. This is a moment. Yeah, he was definitely hateful. But the visible aspect of what happened, whether she was Mary or Susan, any other name you want to choose there, I get through this text and realize she had one goal. She had predetermined before she got there what she was going to do. She had predetermined that she was going to get there and give all of her worship and all of her praise to Jesus. Yeah, amen. I'm going to go back over here. Y'all heard that? Yes, 100%. She predetermined, not you, it's her, I promise. She predetermined when she shows up at that house because she knew Jesus was there. It was predetermined what she was headed there to do. Gave zero cares about anything else in the room. Amen? Right? And visibly, like, they're eating, enjoying themselves, having a good time. And I have to think for a moment that, like, none of y'all can be Judas because that would be not cool. But y'all can be disciples for a minute, and one of y'all can be Jesus if you want. But I just imagine for a moment she shows up. I'm not saying that she kicked open the back door, but listen, everything about that story shows a fervency that she was getting to Jesus no matter what. Nothing changed. She rolled in that back door. She looked around, and it doesn't say anything about that anybody offered her anything. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Where's your invite? Or, hey, we only have enough. What did they eat back then? Any of y'all old enough? What did they eat back then? What would have been dinner? Anybody? That's my child. That's my child. Talk about ruining a moment, Tucker. Honey bun. Listen, I like this story better and better now. I'm now visualizing Jesus, Simon the leper, all the disciples just passing out Big Debbie's, right? Just honey bun for you. Now, the real question is, like, is it an iced honey bun or just a regular? Because, I mean, I'm not there unless it's iced. But think about it for a moment. She rolls up into the back door uninvited. No one knows what's going on. And she has one mission. She is predetermined that she is going to give her praise and worship to Jesus. She takes a beeline. She didn't show up and go, hey, can I eat first? Hey, what are y'all talking about? Like, didn't do any of that. Her mind was predetermined. I would love to think for a minute, what if your life was predetermined that when you showed up here, you were here to give all of your praise and worship? Like, I wrote some things down that said, it doesn't even matter what the set list that we picked for the week is. You show up ready to give God your praise. Nothing's going to change it. Amen? That's how she rolled in. But the visibility of total abandonment. You don't got to take out loud babies. This is Family Sunday. We do it like that. I'll just get louder. Total abandonment is the visibility that I get. I have nothing else. That's where I'm at. I don't care what's happening around me. Imagine your life predetermined from the moment that he found you, that everything you do is going to give back to God in your praise and worship, no matter the circumstance around you. Now listen, that is a deep spot that I am not going to, a lie. That is a deep spot that I don't like to spend a lot of time in, because usually Tim Miller would be right there, Angie will be right there. And listen, if you've not sat close enough to Angie, to catch the fragrance of the anointed oil, you should. You should. If there is somebody that this is written for, without a shadow of a doubt, don't cry. We're not doing that today. If there was somebody that you could just pluck into that story right now, Angie's that. 100%. Facing things that I couldn't even fathom. But I hear that song and I read that story and I say, I haven't met a lot of people that are in total abandonment to, doesn't matter my circumstances, because from the moment I am saved, I am predetermining that my life and my worship and my praise is going to him no matter the circumstance around me. And that's what this lady rolled up in. Total abandonment, that it doesn't matter what else is happening, going on. Total abandonment. I wrote down that if you don't predetermine that you are going to do that for the Lord, you will be swayed by everything that flows left and right. Whoa. I like this side over here. I'm about to move this. Terry, I'm sorry. Next week. Miss Betty's got some amens over here, and I like it. It's like fuel for my dying tractor right there. Total abandonment. But what does it say? What happened next? What were the disciples? There's a word, and I listen, again, we'll go, y'all don't have to amen this. I'm not super smart, but I had to look it up for a minute. But indignant, I don't know that I've ever been that, probably have, but they were that, and I had to realize that they're big mad. They are big mad. Why are they big mad? But why are they mad? Why are they mad? Yeah, why are they indignant? For sure. And I don't think it was just Judas in that conversation. The conversation was, hold up. Wait a minute. That could be used. How much was it worth? What? I heard it over here. Somebody what? A year's wages. Imagine if Wayne rolled around with an alabaster box around his neck worth 300 grand. Maybe 400 when he retired. He probably made a lot of money. Imagine what you are holding on to is worth a... I'm just kidding. There were zero amens from your wife. She's like, no. We are on a fixed income now. 40 bucks. No. We don't need to know your allowance. I have seen that on Saturday morning when we're over here working, his allowance get doled out. Like, here you go. That's it. You stop at the Parmar, that's up to you, but it is. They were indignant. They were big mad. They were frustrated that what she did was unpleasing. Here's the cool part. As I studied anointing in general, and I dove through the difference between Aliepho and Criso and the outward anointing and how they anointed kings, and you read through the four of them. Three of them are poured, or two of them are poured oil on his head. Two of the gospels show that she poured oil on his feet and her tears and all that stuff. Again, the understanding is, she poured everything that she had. And that's my point today. Like, we can get into theology and we can argue on a Tuesday afternoon, but today's not that day. The understanding is, how well do you line up to that in your total abandonment to Christ? Now, I don't know that I can anoint Christ. I don't think that my anointing of him is the same as his of me. But the minute that he saves you and anoints your head with oil, makes you part of his family, your return back. Now listen, and I think that we'll dive into this next week, but I drew a very large correlation to through her whole life and all that was good and all that was bad. Now, if it was Mary, so be it, whatever, but all of her past, she knew who Jesus was. All of your past, you know who Jesus is. All throughout your life, there is a fresh anointing from the Lord. Can we at least establish that baseline? Yes, okay, I got both. I can go back to the middle now. There is a fresh anointing. There is an initial anointing, but then there is a fresh anointing because some of y'all be stale. Wow. Sorry, we're going to lie in the church today. Sometimes your oil gets stale. Thanks. Like, it's for me too. Don't get me wrong. Like, 100%, sometimes your oil gets stale. You need a fresh anointing. That's what we come here for, right? Fill my cup, Lord. 100%. I'd like to pour out anointings and blessing on other people, but I still need to get filled back up. Well, everything, what did that alabaster box represent? Man, I am way away from my notes, and I'm okay with that. What did that alabaster box represent? If you do, 1 ounce of the study says all of her possessions. I don't have a 401k. I might have an 001k. I don't know. I'm not adulting very well. I'm really moderately financially irresponsible. No. That was not the place for that. It's not untrue, but not the place for that. But I'm not a big 401k guy. I need to be. Like, I'm already old. I mean, I just turned 45. Like, I need to start thinking about my future, but I really just like to think about lunch. And that's not untrue. It's not great, but he made me special in other ways, I guess. But I want you to think about this alabaster box that she had. One would say that all of her past anointings, all of her present tense, yet, if you think about it, it was worth a year's wages. Y'all all got friends. Raise your hand if you've got friends. Perfect. We'll pray for those of you that are like, I don't know if I do. Like, I like a lot of people. I think the list of people that don't like me might be pretty long, but I'm not sure. I love them anyway. I'm special. It's okay. But I don't know a lot of people that hang out with one possession worth a year's of their wages. Whether their wages are little or big, all is the countenance of understanding. All that it matters there is it is beyond what normal comprehension would be. That's all I think that we need to take from that. But it's also her future, right? And it's, listen, you can study for days about an alabaster box, what it looked like. I don't even want to get weirded out that this was full of the essence of nard. Spike nard, if you want to use the full term. Like, that's mad weird. I've never had spike. Terry Shin, come on, man. We're going over here. I've never had spike nard growing in my front yard, so I don't exactly know what it smells like. But it's got to be good, right? Because this was almost royalty. This was everything. And the weird part for me, okay, I'm a slow learner, right? And catching a picture, I'm a slow learner. But like, this is a, you know, in case of emergency, break glass kind of a thing. This ain't one of those things that you just pop the top off and get a little bit of and dab it here and whatever. No, this is, if you break it, you pour it out. We can go into the connotation of pre-burial, death, all of that stuff. There is some thought processes in that, but the overarching understanding, this is all that she had, and she's going to bust it open for a one-time use. And I want your visibility for a moment to think about what that meant to her. She didn't care what was for lunch. She showed up in the building for one purpose. I want to see Jesus. There he is. This is everything that I have. I believe that it constituted all of her past sufferings, all of the anointing that came on her life through the Lord, through the time, all built up. It was representative of her past, her present, and her future. And what did she do with it? Broke it up. I don't know if you twist off the top that doesn't go back on. I don't know if you smash it. I don't know. It doesn't matter, other than the fact that I know that the story and all of the stories say that she showed up, she broke off the top, she poured it out, and she left with nothing. Man. How often do we do that? Where was that? I like that. That was back here. Listen, how often do we do that? We talk about all the time. I get it. We're human. But, you know, all to Jesus, I surrender most. It's not how the song goes, but, man, that's how we should sing it. And if I'm, I mean, listen, I'm preaching to myself as well. But we love to leave a little bit at Jesus' feet. We do. We love to meet him, show up, leave something. And as we turn around to leave it at his feet, we grab a little of the corner. Yeah. And we like to take it on with us. Just say, I'm going to help you, Lord. Here's what I need, but I wrote something. It's here. Oh, you can't do it your way and expect God's blessing or God's joy or God's peace. Let that sink in for a minute. I love to do things my way. Y'all love to do things your way. Thank you. All right, so we're in good company. I love to do things my way. But the problem is if I do it my way too often, I circumvent where Jesus is in my life. The understanding of, Lord, you have it all, right? That understanding of, I want to do it. Here I am. I'll do a little bit, you do some, and we're good. Jeremiah 29 says, when you seek me with all your heart, in that moment you will find me. I also wrote that when you understand the depth of your need for God, it will determine the height of your praise. That one hurts. Studying all of this, understanding that everybody praises differently. I haven't seen anybody run a lap. I might do it. I did wear, like, these are a little more sporty than suit shoes, but I some of them real shiny ones are super uncomfortable. You know, I mean, you might look pretty, but it's not cool to walk in. It's not legit. But I'm fat, so we had to still move around. I've never seen anybody run a lap, but all of you guys worship differently. I'll go back over here. Everybody worships a little bit differently, right? Right. So I'm not going to get into the business of how you should worship, other than that you should. But when you understand the depth of your need for the Lord, that is a direct reflectance to how well you praise. Not how loud you sing, how fast you run a lap, but the need and how you praise the Lord. How you predetermine what you do on a daily basis. And it's not just when you hit the church house on how you are going to praise the Lord. Right, we talk about, we do all that we do in here so that you guys can be successful on Tuesday afternoon talking to the guy at the Dollar General with the big beard. Super nice guy, by the way. He works Sunday mornings. That's why he's not here. He probably doesn't like me. I don't know. It's whatever. But we do in here. I'm glad none of y'all amen that. That almost went off track for a minute. Oh, no, it's afternoon. What should have been the reaction of the disciples, as opposed to being indignant? They should have said, whoa, my bad, that's loud. Ain't nobody going to outpraise me. Who is this lady? Like, think about it for a minute. This story says that whose house was it? Simon the leper. How many parties did he have before? None. Why? Because you couldn't get near him. When he saw somebody praising Jesus, he should have said, whoa, ain't no way. I'm going to get on the table. I'm going to break out what they play back then, like a harp or a lyre or what's that? Harp? It's this, if y'all didn't notice. Like, it's, if I ever do this again, I preferably will not. But he should have broke out an instrument. He should have just started shredding and said, you do you, lady. I'm for it. I am here with it. But what got weird is it wasn't just olive oil. They knew right away. Listen, the Lord told me that this is not a needed. I like illustrations. I like demonstrations. And some of y'all got like mad weird sinuses, so I didn't do you dirty like this. But a lot of the essence of nard, to the best of my study, why I'm down the rabbit hole of what that smells like. But if you do the study of the flower and going all the way down, it really has a lavender approach, right? So now y'all are like, whoa, essence of nard feels yucky. I agree. Spike nard, like who grows that? I'm going to go to Lowe's this afternoon and ask if they got some, because I'd like to grow some. But it really, everything says that it really emulates lavender, and I wanted to fill this place this morning about the time I started preaching with the smell of lavender, but I know some of y'all would have been like, bro, it's not for it. I'm not for it. So I did it. You like lavender? Well, then you would like the essence of nard, I guess. There it is. Well, but I didn't do that. But I wanted, they knew in that moment. Think of the disciples. They had already been with him. They had already seen what was going on. And somebody coming to anoint Jesus from the tip of his head to his feet. Let's go with that. Let's encompass all of them in case y'all study this week. I don't care. Came to anoint him. They should have been for it. They should have been saying, yes. They didn't need the money. Like, they had, everything was going right. Like, they should not have been indignant. You, I'll pivot. Okay, Lord. You should not be indignant to the way somebody else praises. Amen. That feels super hurtful. And that wasn't in my notes, so I'm going to go with that's the spirit. We can't be indignant to the way somebody else worships. We can't be indignant to the way somebody else praises. We can't be, Dana, is that your red car out there? We can't be mad if somebody sells a really cool old sports car and takes no value in it and says, here you go, it's for you. We can't look at that sideways and go, why would he do such a thing? It's not your business. The understanding that she said when she sang that song, you weren't there the night he found me. You didn't feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. You don't know the cost of my oil. And listen, it's after 12. We'll keep things going on next week. You know what? I'm going to land the plane. Just come start playing this. I got another point or three, but yeah. Bring Bert too. Where's he at? You don't know the cost of my oil. I don't know the cost of yours. I don't know the cost of any of y'all's. I don't know that some of y'all's is stale. Amen. I can't be indignant to how you worship the Lord. I can't be indignant on how you go about your worship and praise, because I got to worry about me. Like when he anointed me, he did it in a private place. He took me to a place where it was unseen. Just like when he tells them to pray and to fast, he says, listen, you don't have to go up there and stand on a box and pray out loud and say Jesus 400 times. Go into your quiet place and pray. Take it to somewhere to where I know what your heart is. I can wear a suit. The cool part is y'all have known me long enough. Next week, I'm going to be in shorts and flip-flops. Somebody say amen, please. One amen would be fine with it. Actually, I haven't really wore flip-flops since I moved away from Florida. My toe holds up right. It's just weird. But you don't know. Listen, you don't know the cost of my oil. You don't know the cost of what it costs daily in my walk with the Lord. I don't know yours. I want to come together here on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and all of the above, so that we can enjoy each other's company together to get a fresh filling. I believe that a filling from the Spirit, a fresh anointing of oil from the Spirit, is easier when all of our guard is down, when our shoulders are down, and we are with like-minded individuals. The problem is even in the church, even in the church, we still show up on Sunday morning and don't want to talk about what we need to pray for. Like, we still, as a leadership team, pray and talk about how do we make this look more inviting to get more people to come leave things at the feet of Jesus. It is a constant, I don't want to use the word argument because it's not, but we try to make it look pretty to do so you guys feel comfortable to do something. Because every time you step out of that aisle and head down to an altar, it's not just so that you can get saved. Like we have determined years ago that the vast majority in the church, not all, because the Bible says not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, right? So we're not going to dabble in that today because I don't have that much time. But there are things that we should pray for at all times. Your week ain't going to be great. Everything about your week might not have been great. But if your face looks like you've anointed your head with oil and you wash your face and you got a breath mint, you roll up in here and you don't let anybody else in on what's going on, how is your fresh anointing going to help that stale oil? It's not, right? It's not. We are a land of beautifully broken people all navigating life together. Here's my point as I land the plane and they're going to sing, we're going to stand. Y'all stand. Let's do that. If you leave with nothing else, I tell my teenagers, because sometimes they go home and tell their moms, usually their moms, a small story of what I talk about on Wednesday night. Most of the time it's semi-wrong, so we try to beat home the point before they leave, so I've gotten weird phone calls. You said this, I didn't say that. That's not what I said at all. Okay, cool, we're good again, everything is fine. But here is my point today in this story. I need you to be the person, when it's time to experience Jesus, to show up at the back door, unfazed about what's going on in the room. Unfazed that it's Family Sunday and we have children in here that are being absolutely quiet, by the way. It's kind of awesome. But you are unfazed what's happening in the room because you are predetermined your life that all of your praise and all of your worship is going to be to the Lord. I'm not going to look at Angie because it makes me cry. But even in the midst of the strangest trials in life that have zero explanation, you're still going to praise. No matter what. There is an understanding of the outpouring of his love and your total abandonment of your life. She says, Jesus, here is my alabaster box. I am breaking it open for you. I now have zero in my life. It's yours. Because she what? She trusts the Lord. Not only with the oil that's now, I don't want to say wasted, but now it's drawn down to the ground. It did its job and now it's gone. But she says, I have no more for myself. What I provisioned for myself is now gone, and I trust you. So my question for you is this morning, where do you stand in that total abandonment to the Lord? It's easy. We're going to sing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. My question for you this morning is, do you trust him? Right? So we do have altars or stairs. You could pray about whatever you want. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be awkward. But listen, I want you to sing this song that says, put up that first verse, Stephen. Because a lot of times those things that